Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love again. God, we just thank you for bringing us through another week. Lord, I pray that it would have been a week of opportunity, a week of ministry, a week of clear godly living and clear godly discipling and encouraging of those around us. And I pray your blessing on our time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I want to make a link this morning, if I can, with you. And some of you have probably already made the link. But whenever I use the word PC, the initials PC, what do I mean? What do I mean? For those of you in the millennial generation, well, what does it mean? Politically correct. Okay?
I'm not.
Politically correct. Yes. Politically correct. All right. I want to make a little bit of a case this morning that says political correctness is nothing more than cultural Marxism. Political correctness is cultural Marxism. Okay? And this is important because I want to avoid two extremes. The first extreme I want to avoid is to say, you know what, Christians go along to get along. And so when somebody brings up this kind of, you know, hey, I'm offended by something, we tend to navigate around it because we don't really want a lot of conflict. And you know, we really want the conflict to be the cross of Christ. And so we try to avoid all other kinds of conflict. So we're kind of soft selling over here. The other selling is over here, you know, I'm far right. I really, anything that is politically correct, I'm against it, right? There's always three positions you can have in life, right? You can be for something, you can be against something, or you can be against whatever the other person is for. It's pro, con, and against. You can be pro, you can be con, based on the relative merits of whatever it is you're talking about. Or, as some of you children think your parents are, whatever I say, they're against it, right? Sometimes we feel that, right? As at least I did as a kid. I would bring up things, and it didn't matter what I said. I could have said white is white or white is black, and they would have said I'm against it. Of course, that wasn't true. That was my rebellion working its way out in my worldview. But when it comes to political correctness, I want us to keep the pendulum, if we can, in the middle. Because there's errors to the right and to the left that are to be avoided. Because some people end up just naive, and some people end up arrogant and contrary all the time. And let me say, neither one serves the gospel very well. Okay? I'm not arguing for, you know, wishy-washy, right? But I am arguing for discernment. And so, when you look at the Marxist concept, which is really kind of a random collection of idealistic notions, and I have them here, and I'll remind of them. So Marx really was the father of modern communism, of socialism. Communism is primarily atheism, it's materialism, and it's economic determinism. Remember, your parents did it to you. I'm sorry, the rich people did it to you. Your parents did it to you, it's Freud. Specifically, your mom did it to you. As far as I'm concerned, my mom gave it to me, everything I have. And then he came up with the Communist Manifesto, which is we don't want to have any property or land. Some tax, we want to have a graduated tax, abolition of inheritance, and these kinds of things. Free education for all, equal liability of all to labor, so everyone gets to work. Well, what does this have to do with political correctness? The principal thing I want you to think about is, if you're a Marxist, you always consider people in the individual or in the group? The group. You're always a member of a group, right? In fact, we don't understand you unless you're a member of the bourgeoisie, or you're a member of the proletariat, or you're a member of the labor group, whatever you are. You're a member of a group. And so you as an individual is not really the point. You as a collective is the point. Okay? If you're a member of a group, you're either a member of a minority, you're a woman or a man, you're a particular group in a labor union, you could be some abused category, right? You know, somehow you are a member of some form of a group. And whenever we make decisions about you, we always make decisions based on the group. And in Marxism, we call these classes, right? Not to be confused with your school class. These are classes of people. So we're always trying to draw lines around them and make generalities. Okay, can I say that? If you're, Ted taught me this, by the way. And I resisted it for a long time, which is sometimes what God requires in order for it to teach you something. As a rule, it's really fun to make generalities, and it's very often not helpful. Can I say that? Whenever you're dealing with individuals, the fact that they're in a particular, you know, space in life, they're old, they're young, they're male, they're female, they're whatever, before God, is it relevant? No, God knows it. But when we come to the cross of Christ, what do we know? There is neither male nor female, bond nor free, right? Rich nor poor. That old idea that the ground is level at the foot of the cross is absolutely right. Everyone comes here and you stay there. As Ted likes to say, you know, it's the grasshopper who can jump the farthest, using that verse that all the people are grasshoppers before the Lord. I like to use the word tallest pygmy. You know, you may be there and I may be slightly behind you, but what's the difference between us? Zero, right? Why do we think there's a bunch of difference between us? Because, as we'll see looking at Einstein, we're comparing ourselves among ourselves, as the scripture says, and whenever we do that, we are not wise, which is to say we are stupid, foolish, okay? So they all want to look at these groups, and political correctness wants to do the same thing. In fact, anybody under 20 know what gerrymandering is? Sarah, what's gerrymandering? Right. Right. So if I'm an elected official, okay, and I represent a certain group of people. So here's my group of people, okay? And maybe I'm a Republican, and maybe I want to get reelected, okay? And so the people that are in office have the right to draw the lines on who votes for who. So gerrymandering is, if this is a Republican pocket and this is a Republican pocket and that's maybe a Democratic pocket and maybe there's a small Republican pocket, I'm going to draw the line and say, hey, you know what? That's the people that are going to vote for me. I declare that to be a precinct. I declare that to be my voting block. That's gerrymandering. I draw the lines every which way just so I can get my voting block right. When it comes to political correctness, gerrymandering occurs perpetually. People, it's not enough. You may be a minority, but maybe you happen to be a minority that is a conservative minority. So normally if you're a minority, you would be considered in a group, and you would be unable to be attacked politically. And we have this in our own world today. We have a predominantly African-American president, right? And the African-American people say anything you say against that individual, you're saying that because they're what? He's a member of a group. You can't say anything against an African-American person because they're a minority. Just like you can't say anything against a lady, or you can't say anything against a poor person, right? They're in a group that's protected. Okay, protected by who? Protected by political correctness. And so what Marxism said is, hey, the groups are all that matter. What political correctness says, the groups are all that matter. And if you happen to be an African-American person that also happens to be, I'm just going to say Republican, and I'm not trying to be political, it's not my exercise, we're going to carve you out of the protected group. We're going to gerrymander right around you. You're not protected because you don't fit. You are protected. And so the people that get to gerrymander these terms drive everything. Okay? And I want to warn, this is not good truth. You can't get good truth out of this. Because two things happen. Number one, we don't really know where the lines are because they're constantly being redrawn. And number two, there's nothing about objective truth in here. There's nothing about objective truth. So you cannot get truth out of political correctness. Why? Why? It's because truth is defined by the group instead of by God. Okay? So if I'm trying to make a generality about this group, I'm saying everybody in that group feels like they've been abused and they're all frustrated. Is that a true statement? No. Does the statement even really matter? No. God's truth, right? What does God say about His truth? His word is forever settled in heaven. Right? Can I tell you, to the political correct person, which, make no mistake, this concept, these people that are in these groups, they didn't come up with political correctness. It was forced on them by people who want to control the worldview. They define this process, and they decide who they're going to protect, who they're not going to protect. And they're doing it to advance a Marxist agenda. Okay? And that exercise is nothing less than an orchestrated attack on Western civilization. All right? This political correctness is it's an orchestrated attack on your civilization. It's not just niceties. Hey, somebody may be offended by that. We don't have Charles. I don't want to pick on Charles. He's our... It used to be we would have in the races, you would call them a certain thing. Then it became African American. Charles, I don't want to pick on you. Please tell me if you're uncomfortable, because it's not my point. But were you born in Africa? No. Now we can say African American. I'm Scottish. I wasn't born in Scotland, right? So I'm not Scottish American. I kind of am. Okay. So I want the pendulum to stay in the middle. There is a point of respect in the exercise. And can I say, very often Christians are some of the least respectful people. We're least respectful because we think we've got this club of truth, and if all I have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Right? So I don't listen to people. I don't try to understand people. My encouragement is, treat people as individuals. Take the time to listen to them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter their color. It doesn't matter their gender. It doesn't matter their position in life. In fact, when Christ comes along and He says, who do you minister to? The people you're supposed to minister to. And this has been working through me the last couple of weeks. Who do we minister to? The people that can't pay you back. That's who you minister to. The people that there's no way, if you do something for them, they can somehow turn around and make it good. Because if you do it for someone, Jesus says, that can turn around and repay you, what have you done? We're just like the heathen. The heathen are always trying to manipulate. If I pull this, what is it? I scratch your back, you scratch mine. I encourage you to scratch as many backs as you can that they can't possibly scratch your back in return. That's the gospel. Minister to that. But it requires, actually, you're consciously, in fact, Christ did this. Christ said, I call the righteous, or I call the sinners to repentance. I call the righteous, right? In fact, the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says, be careful about giving things to rich people. They already have this world's goods. Turn around and give things to the poor people. And so I want this pendulum in the middle, and by that I mean I want the pendulum to be individuals. God, Christ, cares about individuals. Individuals are made in the image of God. Groups are not made in the image of God. In fact, the groups go away. The Pharisees, when they said, remember the Jewish fellow had seven wives because he had to keep marrying the sisters, right? They fabricated this insane story, and they said, in the resurrection, whose wife will be this fella? Did I say that backwards? No, I said that backwards. The sister, the wife married a series of husbands. All right, so finally she died. Whose husband gets to be with the Jewish wife? Well, Jesus said, nobody. Gender doesn't matter in heaven, right? So there's a lot of, does rich and poor matter in heaven? No, you can't take it with you. And even if you could, it's not worth anything when you get there. I mean, the streets are made out of gold. What could you take? What coinage can you take? What is worth something in heaven? Two things. First of all, the blood. The blood is faith is the application. The blood. The currency of the realm of heaven is blood. Never forget that. The currency of the realm of heaven is blood. Blood is worth something in heaven. Because, as the scripture says, the life is in the blood. Whenever Jesus gave his blood, he would say it back and forth. He gave his blood, he gave his life, shed his blood, he gave his life, right? Same thing in the scripture. If you give your blood, by default, you give your life. Because the life is in the blood, okay? The currency of the realm of heaven is blood. And nobody gets into heaven except through the application of Christ's blood. Right? It's very important. What's the other thing that has value in heaven? Yes, righteous acts. Righteous acts, okay? So when you go home today or you're doing your finances for the week or whatever and you look at your bank account and you're thinking, hey, I have a certain amount to get through the next whatever period, or I have a certain amount of wealth, I'm a little bit ahead, or I got nothing and I can't make it ends meet, right? And you're kind of judging by human standards, hey, I'm wealthy or I'm not wealthy. Not according to heaven. According to heaven, we don't need the resources. Now, money helps. It's not my point. My point is that God has all the cattle, and he's got all the ore, and he even has the man's efforts to convert that into usable stuff. He owns all of it. Okay? So how should we be thinking about our relative wealth? How many good deeds do we have stored on the other side? Lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, right? And so I want to reject this concept in its totality. I want us to get back to a biblical concept of what are we doing that's wealthy? What are we doing that's really valuable that moth and rust doesn't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal, right? You don't need an alarm system. Heaven's vault is secure, right? Put your treasure there. So when someone comes to you for need, practice saying yes. Just practice saying yes. Someone needs something. I'll take care of that. Just practice saying yes. And because it'll force you to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do. Say, well, I don't have time. I don't know that I can afford it. I don't know. Just say yes. And then try to help them. Okay? It's a much better approach. So I want to resist this idea of political Marxism, but I also want to make sure that we understand that this is a false use of sensitivity, but there's a Christian use of sensitivity, right? In fact, there's a book that Pastor Ty has been working through called The Bruised Reed. Remember The Bruised Reed from Isaiah? That the suffering servant would not break a bruised reed. And the picture is a cattail. It's a cattail in a pond of water, and right at the water mark where it bends and sways, right, it gets weak there. Whenever the Messiah goes by, the bruised reed doesn't break. right? And so Christ is so gentle that when he comes by individually, individual reeds, he's not crushing them. He's so sensitive to them. And the smoldering flax he doesn't extinguish. So when you, if your parents let you blow out the candles, and, you know, used to be fun, now it's just, hey, blow out that candle. I'm going to bed, make sure the candle blows. Whenever you blow out the candle, right, that last little ember before it into smoke, right, and it starts to then make a mess. That last little smoldering flax, Christ doesn't extinguish that. So you don't get the idea that Christ comes in as a heavy, right? In fact, Doyle Dykes, the musician, I went to hear him through a series of strange events. I won't retell the story, but I ended up across town on a flooding, rainy night, and his whole testimony was, in between playing the guitar, his whole testimony was, God did not give us Christ to be a burden to us. God did not give us Christ to be a burden. He gave us Christ to be a peace. He gave us Christ to be a comfort, right? He's the Savior. He's not the attacker. And if you view Christ as the attacker of somebody's soul or the attacker of your soul, you will never, ever understand peace. And so sensitivity is required, but it's not required for groups. It's required for individuals. Yes, Ron?
Lest we look only outward, we could equally see this taking place within the religious culture of America. It's not exclusive to those who are not believers. I mean, the breakups in denominations and the grouping of people according to whether they believe in predestination or not believe in predestination.
Yes. Right. So what Ron is saying, hey, is your view of eschatology could be one way, the doctrine of last things. And because you're out here, we were very careful to draw our line. And we can gerrymandering this thing, you know, until everyone's a winner, right? Until I'm the only one in the true truth box. Everybody else is a little askew. And therefore, I get to elevate myself and look down on you people that haven't quite deciphered the truth of the Scripture exactly my way. There is truth worth dying for, but those are the majors in Scripture. And you should debate the minors, but you should not take them as a fellowship item. Okay. A couple more thoughts on this, and I'll put a bow on it. There's 10 foundational principles, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but that are really driving the political correct agenda, and I just want you to have a sensitivity to them, and this comes out of an article on this subject. One is liberal exclusivism. Exclusivism means, right, we four no more, close the door, right? This is kind of the idea. And so when you gerrymander the groups, when you draw the lines around the groups, we're going to protect the liberal people. We're going to focus on those that are have social and political ideas that are relevant to liberalism, and I'll go through those in a second. In fact, what you're going to see as you go through the culture, you're going to see that more and more this political correct idea will exclude. In fact, if I could, I would like you to draw a timeline to the Antichrist. I'm not saying that it could, but this is not a hard timeline to draw. If only liberal people, only people that are thinking atheistically, have ruled God out of their worldview, if those are only the well-adjusted citizens, which is stated over and over again, and it's been stated for decades. Okay, this is not just like all of a sudden. It's going to be a momentous. It's happening faster. But if only political correct people make good citizens, what are you? Expendable. Really? Why would we want you in the culture at all? The people that didn't have the number of the mark of the beast, they couldn't conduct commerce, right? So you now have a choice. You've now got to go and be part of the underground economy. Okay, it's not a fear factor, but I just don't. Let's not be naive either. These people are not just tripping their way to these conclusions. They are, in fact, intentionally driving them. Yes, Jim. Well, and I think that more and more, I don't think it's accidental. I don't think it's a slippage. I think it's an intentional, almost like when the president says, I'm going to use executive orders, try to stop me. Okay, I don't want to be political, but because, by the way, all presidents use executive orders. Okay, second thing. So the first thing is there's a liberal view, a liberal exclusivism. The second thing is it's an evolutionary view of society. Where did that come from? Karl Marx. Marx took evolution and applied it to society. He said, let's get this thing going. If evolution is true, then we can apply it to larger groups and they can evolve. Okay? And so what is true for one group may not be true for another group because their sensitivities are different. Right? And by the way, that's sometimes true. But it's true in very small, insignificant areas. What is true is how do you relate to the gospel as an individual? Schaefer says a lot about this too. Moral relativism, which is our Einstein, moral relativism says that if I'm in a group, you know, here's really what we did. Is we took our box, which is the universe, and we said, okay, I'm going to be a humanist, which I'm not going to allow God into the box, right? I'm going to look at what's in the box and try to understand my world. So what we did is we took all of our people and we put them in groups. And we said, okay, these groups now get to define reality. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? These groups get to define reality. Because what they said is this person has evolved, and therefore when they settle into groups, the groups now evolve. Okay? And so... this view of relativism, hey, what I may view as true, you may view as false. But hey, to each his own, right? To each his own. Which is, don't ever say that. I mean, yeah, if you're talking about flavors of ice cream, fine. But if you're talking about anything of any significance, to each his own is not true. Okay, every person's opinions and moral values are not relative. Skepticism. Skepticism said, which comes from our friends in the 60s, right, our parents' generation, in the 60s, there is no objective reality. Everything is to be challenged, right? In fact, some of you young people, you're growing up with this, and so you're using it. And I know it happens in my house occasionally. Using it against your parents. Hey, wait, you're telling me something's true, and you've got to know, you have to ground that. So authority, in order to be valid, they have to prove to you it's true. It's not enough that the authority says something. They have to say it, and now they've got to defend it a host of ways because otherwise I'm not going to really buy it. Okay? Now, as parents, we've got to be careful. We can't just be out here spouting opinion as authority. You've got to make sure to do it fairly. There's five sacred values that are really part of the political correct Marxist movement. The first one is tolerance. Tolerance. We tolerate everybody, almost everybody, except for Christians. Why do we not tolerate Christians? They're intolerable. You guys, intolerable. So we should accept every person, group, culture. I mean, if someone's a homosexual, that's just okay. You know, if someone wants to do any kind of weird thing, well, you know, it's true for them. What can I say? You know, good luck with that. We got nothing. In fact, the church in the last 150 years failed on this point because evolution, we did not have an answer for evolution. We didn't. Well, science, all truth is God's truth. Don't ever say all truth is God's truth. This is God's truth. Everything else is subject to this. I don't care what your science is. Well, blue is blue. Just because the Bible doesn't say it, it's still true. That's a true statement. But make no mistake, that's not what they mean by all truth is God's truth. What they mean is human judgment will evaluate the Word of God. That's what they mean. And that is a road to hell. Because you give up on this, you got nothing. Because this is how we know Christ. We don't know Christ without the Scripture. Egalitarianism. Well, the only legitimate form of government is democracy. And I'm not talking about a republic. A republic means we elect good people, they go to a governmental structure, and they make good decisions. That's what the United States is. We are a republic. A democracy says everybody gets one vote, the majority wins. Right? And you know, this doesn't even work in the House. Where are we going to dinner? Okay, everybody gets a vote. You know full well, probably Mama has the end vote in that game. Right? You know, well, I don't know. Or at least Dad has veto. At least I claim veto power. Mom has the end vote. I don't know. We did Mexican, you know. So democracy is the only legitimate form of government. Why do you see us more and more moving towards a federal system versus a state system? They want democracy, not a republic. Okay? And by the way, there's the five levels of human government, right? You remember those? The five levels of human government are theocracy, rule by God, direct rule by God. The second one is collective compact, which is what we're under. Okay? So put this on a national scale. These are the U.S. of A. people. Okay? I find it funny. We actually represent a lot of the other nations in the Olympics. They're kind of Americans with dual citizenship. So anyway, so these are the U.S. of A. people, and we all agree that we're going to swear allegiance to the Constitution. That's our collective compact. Before that, it was the Magna Carta. Before that, we was totalitarian, and we didn't like it. So we ran away, and we formed our own collective compact. So all these people, they all swear allegiance to the Constitution, except when they don't. And when they don't, you got nothing, right? So what happens after the theocracy goes down to the collective compact, and I would argue here there's a Republican drift to a Democratic basis. That's kind of a miniature point. Then you go to pragmatism, right? Pragmatism says, I don't swear allegiance to nothing, but if it works in real life, I'm doing it. That's pragmatism. It's godless. Pragmatism is godless. What do we say in our vernacular? Whatever works. Whatever works. But no, my friend, the Bible says give to people that can't give you back. That's not whatever works. That's the application of God's promises to this life so you can store up treasure in heaven. It's totally opposite from whatever works. After pragmatism comes hedonism. Pragmatism says I do what I do because it works. Hedonism says I do what I do because it feels good. Right? Feels good. And I can't tell you, the music in the culture has not improved since the 80s. We had a lot of this feel-good stuff in the 80s, and I tell you, it's remarkable. Everything's coming back. The music sounds just the same. In fact, I've noticed this because about two or three times a year I'll listen to pop music. And when I do, it occurs to me that the Christian contemporary music is exactly the same as the pop music, especially the alternative music. The Christian contemporary mirrors the alternative music, exactly. Anyway, so hedonism. We are somewhere here and probably more on the hedonistic scale. Whenever you're celebrating free sexual expression, you're on the hedonist side. There's no practicality. You can't have kids this way. It makes no logical sense. It's just hedonism. But hey, when you got nothing, you're free-floating, or as the Bible says, wandering stars, for whom is reserved blackest night. The last of the chain is anarchy. Okay? Theocracy, collective compact, pragmatism, hedonism, anarchy. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. We've seen this before. It was in the Jewish culture before we had the judges, right? So we have anarchy. What do you need in order to control anarchy? A very big dictatorial government. right? And so these people here, right, who are, by the way, this is an unholy trinity of some people you cannot imagine how evil they are. Hitler-type people. Although I forgot, there's a statement that says whoever invokes Hitler in an argument automatically loses out of desperation. So let me not, I don't want to make that mistake. But these people are evil, okay? They are advancing this cause. They are delighted for us to go to anarchy. Why when we end up in anarchy? Because then they can come in and control the mess. You got to have someone to control this mess, right? And so they are happy to end up in anarchy. So they want this degradation of society. Multiculturalism. This is another one of the five sacred values. They're interested in all societies are morally equivalent and legitimate. By the way, is multiculturalism legitimate? Oh, sure. I mean, Mason's from Ukraine. Hello, Mason. Mason's from Ukraine. Now, arguably, he doesn't want to go back. It's cold. He doesn't speak the language, right? So some people have more or less of an interest to go back, and maybe he will one day. But the society, the ideology of that culture, you should separate from the cultural. And so every culture is interesting. God made it, and he separated the world. And so, you know, at the Tower of Babel, and these cultures developed the way they developed, sociology. That's cool. That's interesting stuff. I mean, the world is an amazing place, both from a scientific and from a people perspective. Learn all you can. But that doesn't mean that every ideology is equally valid. Everybody's viewpoint just is culturally the same. The fourth one is inclusion. No individual or group has a right to discriminate against anyone else for any reason. Although sometimes historically, if we've made mistakes in the past, they kind of want to set aside that rule so they can cure past sins. And we've had some. We've had some. The church has had some. We allowed slavery to continue. That's a black eye on the culture, the historical culture of the United States. The last one is religious pluralism. Understand this one, because in some of our modern preaching, we elevate pluralism. The word plural means what? Many, more than one, more than many. Okay, so plural. Pluralism means we're going to advocate many religions. Why would we advocate many religions? Because all religions are man-made. If every religion is man-made, you got no more assessment of the reality than the next guy. It's all one big question mark, right? Well, I find God in the tree. Did you drive your Prius today? I didn't get to you in time. I was going to run up and hand you a stick so you could hug it while you were waiting for the tree. You know, no religion is any better or worse than anything else, right? And so it's all man-made. If it's all man-made, who are you to say? You can't possibly say. Okay, I'm sorry to take so much time, but I tell you, this PC, it follows a Marxist ideology. It follows a Marxist semantics. The dialectic, the language they choose is Marxist specifically, and it's because they are Marxist, and it's specifically because they are godless. They are godless. And so we have to be discerning. We have to think about and be discerning. And we have to gently say, no, I'm not going to play. You don't even understand what you mean by political correctness, and I'm certainly not going to play your game, right? I'm not. I'm going to treat individuals as individuals before God. God loves them, and I'm going to give them the gospel. Everything else about groups and all this, I have to treat you as this kind of group, hogwash. The Bible, Christ didn't do that. If anything, he elevated the Jews for a while over the Gentiles, because he was sent to them first. But beyond that, no. In fact, he actually went out of his way to uphold Samaritans, uphold women, right? He did this over and over and over again. Eating with publicans and sinners, right? He drew his groups in the most offensive way possible, right? Associating with harlots. He wouldn't let you do that. The master wouldn't let that woman do that if she knew what kind of woman she was. He associated with the most offensive people possible. It's the opposite of political correctness. Okay? But we need to be giving the gospel to every group of people and not playing by the world standards on this point. It's not a God way to go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love and your goodness. We pray for your help, Lord, that we would not just swim downstream with the flow of our society, but that we would be discerning. God, give us a love for people. Give us a real heart that the world is dying and going to hell, and it doesn't matter what group they're in. The only group that matters is those that have submitted themselves to the gospel and given their hearts to Christ. God, may we see people in that group and everyone else as a mission field to be won. Thank you for Pastor Ty being back. We pray your blessing on our service. In Jesus' name, amen.